Hey, John.
Hey, Nick.
And this is Stranger Still. Still,
a podcast where we answer the strange questions.
I'm Nick Wood.
That you never thought to ask. I'm John Began.
I wasn't really listening. I was just waiting for a pause for me to say my name because I'm really narcissistic.
Okay.
How's it going? How are you?
Pretty good.
Good. What are we talking about today?
Us.
Isn't that weird?
It's gonna be weird.
So, our birthday, as far as this podcast goes, is July 20th, which is tomorrow if you're listening to this on the day it comes out. So we asked our listeners what kind of episode they wanted. Let me read you some of the responses that our listeners sent in, John. Let's start from the bottom up. So one person voted for historical events that happened on July 20th.
Yep.
Which I'm sure there's like one historical event, and that's that we started this podcast. No, you don't agree?
It was historical. Everything you do is historical, isn't it?
That's true.
Once it's in the past. That was historical. Remember that time I said everything you... Go on. Never mind.
After that was, why do we celebrate birthdays? There's three people that voted for that. Updates or new developments on topics that we've covered in the last year. That was pretty good.
Yeah.
Who is John Began? Because Nicholas can't be that interesting. Thanks,
yeah,
guys.
Which I liked a lot.
That was third from the top. The second from the top was just do one of those clip shows where we just see the producer's favorite moments from the last season again. Those are the worst. And the top one that our listeners voted for was who are John Began and Nicholas Wood?
Yeah.
Which to me is weird. And you said, I think that if we do just a show where we tell our listeners who we are, it's gonna be boring, but if it's boring, it's their fault.
Yeah, but here's the other thing. It was because I wanted to lean towards the me one.
Oh,
which wouldn't be boring,
right?
And it's not to hurt your feelings or anything, but
oh, okay, you know. Well, that's just to part the kimono a little bit. I was really hoping that April 1st would land on a Wednesday because that's John's birthday. It's also April Fool's Day, so I wanted to try to do an episode where I research John's life as much as I could and then tell him about his life.
Yeah.
Which
oh, that
would have
been awesome.
But that wouldn't happen until like 2026 or something, right? It was a really long far time.
We'll be here.
It was a really long time away. So instead, people, you're stuck with me and John interviewing each other about each other.
Yeah. No, but it's going to be rad. We'll be good.
Yeah. Hopefully it'll be interesting. We've both led creative lives. We've both had different creative projects. We both dabble in different areas of creative means.
Like you dabble in Scrabble.
Yeah.
I know that. That's a fun fact right off the top.
Yep. About me or you?
Oh, well, it could go either way.
Yeah,
that's the
I
fun.
Like Scrabble.
Yeah, it's fine.
It's fine. You don't like it?
Yeah, it's fine.
I'll take that as a you don't like it. I want to know, John, about you. What was early John life like? And like what was your earliest semblance of inspiration for who you became?
Well, it all started when I learned the word semblance.
Yeah.
When I was 5 years old.
You're a smart kid. What happened?
I went over to the dictionary and I opened it up and said semblance, and I said, I'm gonna do a podcast one day. But my earliest, like how it became me?
Yeah.
That's not a big question, right?
What?
I guess I just wanted to make music, and that's kind of how I identified as a teenager.
Yeah. As a teenager? Did you have any musical experience before?
Oh, yeah. I played the alto E-flat saxophone, which was the worst.
How old were you?
I was in, junior high school, I think, when I was joining band, and I wish I got orchestra. But I was always bored by music, but because of that, and I kind of like wanted to push that stuff away because
kind of like when a teacher is like, "Read this book," and you're like, "I don't."
Yeah, and then you grow up and you're like, "This is cool."
Yeah, this is a great book. Fahrenheit 451 is really good.
It is pretty good. I did read that in school too, which leads me to seventh grade.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. I guess I started making. My friend decided that they were going to start a band, a screamo band.
Yeah, what was it called?
They didn't have a name yet.
Yeah.
But they wanted a screamer.
Uh-huh.
I was going to play guitar. My other friend was going to play guitar. My friend Brandon was going
to
play drums.
Did
Brandon
you know how to play guitar at that
time? I did, a little bit. So my dad got me into it because my dad was into music. That's really how I got into music. But I didn't like it in school. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to try to scream instead. Or I'm going to try to sing because the one dude didn't show up. And that's the only reason I started singing. And then I became the lead singer of that band, and that band progressed into Love Robot, and it became, you know, members came and went, and for 5 years I was the lead singer, and then Alexa joined me too.
Yeah. What was your musical inspiration? Like, who did you look to, like, these are my guys, girls?
Yeah, we had, like, for me personally, I think as a group we listened to, like, Explosions in the Sky.
Uh-huh.
Godspeed You Black Emperor.
Never heard
like
of
all this like post rock stuff.
Yeah.
And then what really made us want to change our sound, because we started out as a screamo band and we liked bands like Amir and Unbroken Wings, like a bunch of local, like Straight from the Path and stuff like that, a bunch of
and
hardcore
local,
bands.
You mean New York?
Yeah, New York.
You grew up in New York.
Because I was on Long Island in New York. Yes. And then one day I was friends with a band called The Red Dream, and they said, "Hey, John, you should sing for us. We're starting this like side band, and we're working with this guy named Joseph Janis in New York City." So I said okay. So I went and I showed up, and Joseph Janis and his friends were the Berman Brothers. They wrote "Who Let the Dogs Out."
Who?
They're called the Berman Brothers.
Who?
Who? And they were Mbop.
Yeah.
And I auditioned for them by singing "Dashboard Confessional."
Yeah.
And they said, "Cool, you're in." And then the next couple of weeks, we were recording at, like, the Beastie Boys studio, Chungking Studios in New York City. It was, like, $5,000 an hour.
Stuff, I assume?
It was what?
All pre-written stuff?
Yeah, except that the Berman Brothers are really cool, like, tall, blonde, hair-slicked-back German dudes. And they're like, "So, John, what does out of control in your life?" Because this song is called "Out of Control." And I would sit down and just, like, write with them. And they would rent these rooms with really nice couches and furniture just to, like, write lyrics.
Yeah.
It was
rad.
Do
you know if that song ever... Because you recorded that and then you stepped away from it, right?
I did. And I don't know what happened to it because they definitely have used it in another project. I've tried to search for it. I couldn't.
Yeah.
But they've worked with, like, if you know the song, "What Is Love?"
Yeah.
They wrote that whole album.
Yeah.
Night at the Roxbury. They worked with Madonna. And I was, like, 15 and I was looking at these, like, Grammys all over the walls and stuff. And then one day... my other friend said, "We're too hardcore for this, so we're done." And I brought my band in, and they said, "Don't call us, we'll call you." I got that exact line, and then I never heard from them again.
Oh.
But I said, I want to make a career out of music because I got a taste of it, so we changed our sound from hardcore to, like, softer.
Yeah, more poppy.
Yeah.
You'd say. That's really weird.
Yeah.
That's a weird experience. And I want to tell a quick story real fast because I've known you for... at least like three or four years, right?
Yeah, I've been at Nordstrom for 5.
Yeah. So I don't know when we like started being friends.
When we stopped grimacing in the halls.
Yeah. And all that, throwing spitballs at each other. But you would always tell me these stories that sounded so outlandish. And there's since I've got to know you more, I know that they're not outlandish.
Yeah.
And I said this, I think it was off air. I might have said it before. I don't know. Once we were... interviewing Cody Snyder.
Yeah.
I was like, it's really weird to hear all these outlandish stories backed up by another person.
Yeah.
Because, like, I know that they're not fake, but they sound fake. And people have literally asked me before, don't take this the wrong way, but they've been like, is John making up these stories? I'm like, no. They're 100% true.
I wonder if life is just that different when I'm not in the cornfields.
Well,
Nicholas.
I was boring. So, like, nothing like that would ever happen out here.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean...
And the what's funny is the story you're specifically referring to is when I got arrested for being a terrorist on the train tracks.
Yeah, you want to tell them about that?
Sure. We were filming a World War II movie, and we all had fake guns.
Yeah, because you and your friends like to make movies before, too, right?
Yeah. So we would – that was the two things I'd do. So I was in a band, and we would make films together, and we went to film school and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And I still work with my friends on that, except now I compose music for their films.
Instead of starring in them and having a weird French accent and all that.
Yeah, which – yeah, I starred in a French action movie. That's another thing. So we were on the train tracks, and the train just came to a stop because my friend Mike was just like, pew, 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 pointing his
you
little
guys
gun.
Were, like, across the field, though, right?
We were on the train tracks.
Oh, you were, okay.
And we knew the train was coming, so the rule was get down. Don't let them see you because you have guns and you're in a uniform.
Fake guns.
Yeah, and they saw us, and they stopped the train, and the conductor got off, and he was pissed. And he came up, and he said, we're going to mow you down with helicopters, and we're going to call the cops on you, and they're going to shoot you, and blah, blah, blah.
Well, let's just add a little caveat here. This was in New York shortly after 9/11, right?
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. So we stopped the entire Long Island Railroad, and then a cop came, and the cop swerved his car out and drew his gun on us, and my friend Alex, who was directing, Alex Taliato, went and said, oh, don't worry, I'll go talk to him. So we went over and he's like, no, don't worry. We're just filming a movie. But he forgot he was wearing his Nazi uniform.
So he's swinging his arms.
So he's swinging his arms around, walked towards this guy with a cop with a gun drawn.
Yeah.
And he made us put our arms in the air and walked us back to the pile and said, yeah, I'm out here with Saving Private Ryan. You could go ahead and make the train go. And he took all of our names. And one of our friends that we were recording, that we were shooting with, was Cody Snyder, son of D. Snyder from Twisted Sister.
Yeah.
And he gets to Cody and he's like, huh, any relation to D? He's like, that's my dad. He's like, oh my God, I love that. I just saw him last summer. He really rocked it. It was great. You kids can go. Get out of here.
Yeah.
So he pulled the D card.
Yeah. He pulled the D card. I think what also makes your life so fantastical is that you were friends with so many affluent people, I guess I would call it. That would never happen in Iowa. So our lives are just like, I guess I'll go to school today.
That's bad. That makes me sad.
I know. Well, don't live in Iowa, kids. No, don't live here. It's fine. It's totally...
But my favorite thing about that story was when we retold it on our episode, because Cody went to the Dakota Access Pipeline to be a water protector and film his dad's music video. He's like, oh, that's a go-to story for you, huh?
Yeah, that's good. Did any of those filmmakers go on to do anything?
Yeah, they all actually, most of them, if not all of them, work in the film industry now.
Yeah.
And film, like, blockbusters.
Yeah.
My friend Troy filmed, I don't remember what his latest projects are, but he's still, like, a cameraman.
Huh.
My friend Alex works for, like, a effects studio.
Yeah.
So he like, just does a whole bunch of stuff with that. My friend John, who I don't think was in that one, is on the radio, but he does movies all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We interviewed him. On our zombies episode.
We did.
So you can go back and listen to that one.
That's two. Yeah, that's John and we had Cody too.
Yeah, we got to get all of them on here. Did you ever have any projects before those films or before Love Robot or anything like that? Like just as like a kid just dinking around?
Yeah, one of the things that I did when I was younger, me and my friend Troy would just make, like, really short films.
Yeah.
Because you've seen five-second films.
Uh-huh.
We were inspired by those and by The Whitest Kids You Know.
Sure. Those guys are funny.
Yeah, all that stuff. So we would make, like, Troy would walk down the street and step on a nail, and then the screen would turn upside down, and it would look like he's hanging from the ceiling. Just, like, dumb little things like that.
Oh, that's cute.
He put his hands in a blender, and then we put, like, some bloody stuff in a blender.
Like corn syrup or something?
Yeah, stuff like that. So they were all on his computer, and then his house got robbed.
Oh.
And someone stole his computer with all of our movies on it, with the only copies of them. But the kid that robbed their house and stole their computer and sold it dropped his ID.
What an idiot.
Before he left. And he was walking around the house with a machete, apparently, and all he stole was some money and some liquor. So they knew it was a kid until they found the license, and then they definitely knew.
Yeah.
So he got caught, but we never got our movies back.
Oh, that's really disappointing.
Yeah.
That was like one of my biggest fears, because I would always have, I had other creative projects that I won't go into right now, but I was always afraid like something would happen to my computer and all this would be lost. And now I think I have lost them just from like moving computers and stuff, and I just don't care. So tell me about the first time that you hit it big, because I know that Love Robot did kind of hit it big to a degree, probably locally, because I've never heard of you, but
yeah. I think the most mind-blowing thing for me was when my sister texted me that she was at the gym and my music video was on while she was working out.
On the TV?
Yeah.
On the big boy TV?
Yep. Or the time that I went to, I worked at Vans.
Yeah.
And I was walking to work and my music video came on in Journeys. And there was this Spanish-speaking family that was in there. And I
walked, mind-blowing.
And I walked in and I was like, that's me! That's, oh my God, that's me! And I was like taking pictures and videos and stuff. And they would look at the screen and look at me and they're like, what the hell is this kid talking about? They had no idea. Because I don't know if they like, I only heard them speak Spanish to each other. I don't know if they spoke English.
Yeah. But, how did that happen? How did that whole shindig go down?
We decided, let's do music videos. Mm-hmm. Alexa and I wrote a song called Lighthouse. And then we went to make music videos with, we like researched some companies. And there are these guys that said, yeah, we'll do two music videos in a weekend. Just come up to Vermont. Yeah, my goal in being in a band, I always wanted to do a music video underwater.
Yeah.
And I got to do that.
Yeah.
So they put, we went and we filmed with them and they put they rented an underwater speaker so you could hear the sound and lip sync.
Yeah.
And they went to a music store and bought old instruments that we could just destroy in the pool.
Gutted instruments or whatever.
Yeah. And we had to like weigh down the drums and everything so they wouldn't float. And then we just like filmed underwater and then our eyes were all red and terrible and we were tired. And I was just like ecstatic. And then we only had so much time to shoot. So we got right from there and we went and I don't even know if we slept. I think we slept on a hardwood floor in this like weird studio, woke up really early next morning and filmed the rest of the music video on a train.
Yeah.
For a different music video. Yeah. For Lighthouse. And, then we went to a company called Hip Video Promo.
Really?
And we said, help us out. And they said, okay. And they set up meetings with MTV.
Yeah.
They set up meetings with like all these companies that publish, music videos.
Wow.
And we had a big fundraiser concert for it where we had a music video premiere.
Yeah,
and we rented out this building where I remember Alexa and I were laying behind the stage behind and watching a music video backwards.
Yeah,
and it was really cool. And we raised enough money to pay that company to promote them, and that's how they got on MTVU, and they got on like Journeys and like in clubs and stuff all over.
Huh, that's weird.
Yeah.
So, did anyone ever recognize you besides like people you knew, of course?
Not. Like, I remember we've signed autographs and stuff when we were at shows.
Is that weird?
It was kind of weird. The first time we got someone asked for our autograph, we asked for theirs back. Because it was the first time we got asked and we thought that was a big moment for us.
It is.
Yeah, so we got their autograph and they got ours and we took pictures of all of our autographs together.
Huh. That's cute.
Yeah.
Do you have any other band stories? I'm curious. Like I said, Iowa life is really boring. So I haven't even come close to anything like that.
I could probably come up with a bunch, but off the top of my head.
Did you ever go on a tour?
We were on tour. We toured the band called The Here and Now, and we went all over the place. And we had tour rules. One of them was you always had to have something on top of your food or someone can punch it.
That's a weird rule.
So I remember we all got sick one day, and I was eating my Subway sandwich, and I forgot to cover it, and Josh from The Here and Now, he just punched my sandwich into oblivion and got lettuce and veggie stuff everywhere.
That's awful.
And and then I told him that it was covered with paper, and he felt really bad. So he's like, I'll buy you a new one. I was like, nah, and I just kept eating it. But I let him buy me a coloring book. So I got a coloring book and sparkly crayons.
This is a really weird story.
Because it was really relaxing because I was just sick and I was just like, I'll just focus on this.
Yeah.
And then the way that we all got sick is like I couldn't perform in that show. So we rented a motel and I didn't want to rent a motel. I wanted to go back to the house, but it was like 4 hours away. So I ended up falling asleep in this hotel on NyQuil really high and I didn't know what state I was in.
Yeah.
And then I locked the door and all the people that were supposed to be in the hotel room with me were in the other room because I locked them out.
Yeah.
So I woke up in the middle of the night and called and said, where is everyone? And they said, we went to the house. And I was really mad. So then I went out of the hotel room to look for the other people just to see what state I was in and like where I was. And I walked around the outside of the building and there was one. First of all, I realized I got locked out of the hotel completely. Just,
oh, good.
I can't get in at all. And I went over and there was one window that was open out of the entire hotel. And it was all one floor. So I went and looked in as I was walking by. It was all my friends sleeping on the floor. There's like seven of them.
That's weird.
So I climbed in through their window, walked past all of them sleeping, and got back into my room that way. I just got lucky, I guess.
Huh. So what did your parents think about this?
They loved it. They were totally supportive of it.
Yeah?
Yeah, they wanted me to tour.
Yeah, wow.
They were down with that, and they said, as long as you're in school, you could do whatever you want.
Huh. So you stayed in school?
Yeah, and if you don't go to school, you got to work full time. Those are the choices.
Oh.
But you can't just, like, bum around or work part-time. You work full-time or stay in school.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I got my associate's degree eventually.
Huh. Boring.
Yeah.
And it's really boring. And I got my associate's degree.
Yeah.
Two-year college, so.
One other tour rule was if you have a styrofoam cup and you're not covering the bottom, someone can rip the bottom off.
What?
So that was.
Why is that a thing?
That was fun, too, yeah.
That's weird. I don't understand.
You'll have to ask the hero now.
Yeah. Okay, I'll find them.
Good. Find them on MySpace.
I can do that. What's the cringiest story you can think of right now about yourself?
The cringiest?
Yeah.
I guess I'm still kind of first of all, speaking of embarrassment, I know that Josh still does feel bad about punching my sandwich. He told me a couple months ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, and this was like 6 years ago.
Well, maybe just tell him right now it's okay.
Yeah, Josh, this is a formal apology. I just want to say it was fine. The sandwich is still
good. It's okay, man. Yeah. It's whatever.
Don't even worry about it. But for me, I guess I never lived down the time that I peed my pants in Master Yu's karate class.
Yeah?
I was just a little kid. Buddy goes...
You're in a white gi.
Jonathan!
You're in a white gi?
Yeah, I was in a gi, yeah.
All white.
Did you pee in your pants? And I was like...
Yes, sir!
Why did you do that?
Oh. I don't know, sir!
And everyone was laughing. He's like, Jonathan! Come with me. And he got me these, like, giant oversized pants. And then they had to, like, mop and, like, cancel karate class.
Aw, poor John.
Yeah.
Man.
And then...
Sorry I asked. I'm sorry I brought up the past.
No, it's okay. Because I was in a class with another kid named Jonathan.
Yeah.
And 10 to 15 years after that, I was in a class in school.
Uh-huh.
And we had to team up in that class partner up with one other person and, like, introduce ourselves,
mm-hmm.
and I found out that it was the kid from my karate class that I was teamed up with in that class.
Yeah,
in that, like, not only were we in the same class, we were teamed up out of that class.
Yeah,
so that was weird.
What's school like in New York?
I was a class of, I think, between 1 and 2,000.
That's absurd.
We had a swimming pool, and swimming was like one of the mandatory classes.
Yeah.
We had like 3 or 4 baseball fields and soccer fields.
Jeez.
And they just built an extension because it was too small.
Huh.
Because it was double story. And that was just, my high school, my junior high starts at 7th grade.
Yeah.
Elementary school ends at 6th.
That's weird.
So it's 7, 8, 9, and then 10, 11, 12. Because there's so many people, they couldn't fit 6th.
Can't just shuffle them through.
Yeah.
That's weird. My graduating class, I think it was like 300 to 400 people.
Yeah, that's nuts.
My entire school was the size of your graduating class.
Probably, yeah. And we had 10, 11, 12. Yeah.
Huh. When people get up on stage, you're like, I have no idea who that is when you're graduating.
Most of the time. Yeah, most of the time you're like, wow, this is my first time hearing this person.
Yeah. I think I knew everyone in my graduating class.
There's That's
like
cool,
two
though.
People, I was like, I have no idea who you are.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people knew me, which is weird because I'm not very outgoing. But yeah. I know how to deal with people.
Well, perfect answer to that.
Yeah.
Then I want to know you, and I want these people to know you, too.
That sucks. I don't got much to say.
Okay, good.
Should have started with me, because I don't know how to follow up all your New York lifestyle. It's true. Do you want to talk about why you came here real fast?
Oh, yeah.
We can talk about how we met.
We could talk about that, too.
Yeah.
So I came to Iowa because there's a website called Is Anyone Up?
Yeah.
It was like one of those gross, cringy, like, I'm going to post pictures of people in bands and stuff.
Oh.
But every once in a while, they would post, like, this person's cute.
Yeah.
And there's no nudity.
Yeah.
So they posted, someone submitted me and said,
people appreciation.
Yeah. Someone said, this person's cute. And it was me.
Uh-huh.
And Desiree, who's my girlfriend now, her friend owns that site and said, you would think this guy's cute.
Yeah.
And she looked and she's like, she checked out my Facebook and saw we read the same book.
Huh?
And she's like,
which one?
A House of Leaves.
Oh, yeah. That's really messed up.
Yeah, so she's like, I don't know anybody else that read this book. And she's like, hey, I noticed you read this book, whatever. And we just started talking from there,
yeah.
And texting and then video chatting. And then she visited me and visited her, and then I moved here.
Yeah. And then you started working.
Then I started working at Nordstrom because she said that it's a cool place to work. She used to work there.
Yeah.
And then I met you.
Yeah.
At Nordstrom.
Yeah.
Where we both still work.
Yeah. And we would just sit next to each other and goof. Like, we'd have all these string of riffs where we would just make up stories.
Yep.
Just to make each other laugh. And then I think everyone else around us is like, what's wrong with these guys?
Yeah. So he said, let's record this and make everyone listen to it.
Yeah. We talked for a long time about making a podcast. And I had introduced you to a couple.
I didn't know what podcast. I didn't listen at all until you sent me stuff you should know.
Yeah. Now it's like all you listen to is podcasts.
Yeah.
And I was like, I want to do something like this. I sent that to you. And eventually you got a job at a radio station. And we're like, all right, now's the time. We're just going to do it.
Yeah.
Yep. Like out of nowhere.
Yeah, because I volunteer with Last Hope, and I
Last Hope Animal
Shelter. Animal Rescue.
Oh, yeah, that. Whatever.
In 3 years after I moved here, we rescued over 100 dogs in my own house.
Mm-hmm.
I went through many paper towels. Crazy. Yeah, and the radio station wanted me to do videos for them because I did videos for Last Hope, and then they just hired me as a DJ, and Nick and I recorded at the studio there.
Yeah, they're like, you can use the equipment anytime.
Yep.
So then we're like, well, we have it. We better use it.
And then one day it broke, and Nick's like, I'm not taking this risk again, and he bought a whole setup.
Well, it was that combined with there was a flood threat in our downtown area.
Yep.
And it didn't flood very much, but you couldn't get to the studio, and we had to record. And I was like, this is never happening again. So I went and got all this equipment. Now we're in my basement, which I call the studio, and people make fun of me. But hey, whatever. Get off me.
Stop laughing! Stop it, Daryl!
You always be
an intern!
I thought we fired him.
I thought you fired him.
I was leaving that to you. Mm. Okay, well, we'll deal with that after.
So.
Yeah.
I heard that you also had a childhood.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I didn't just wake up and 0 to 20
Zero to something. Hero. So.
Anyway.
One of the things that I know that consumed your life as a prepubescent boy.
Oh, God, yeah.
Was drawing.
Yeah.
And I want to know why.
Why Hold drawing? On.
Why? Why drawing?
Why are you saying it all weird?
I'm an interviewer.
You're trying to be like NPR?
Yeah.
Why drawing? I don't know why drawing. That's a really weird question.
How did you? Let's get to the real deal stuff instead of the jokey questions. When did you first decide, I'm an artist?
I still don't think of myself as an artist, but I can actually pinpoint it because it was going into second grade. It was like the first week back in our art class. They handed out these pieces of paper from our local news station, and they said, hey, this news station is doing an art contest for second and third graders. So just draw what you did over the summer and we'll submit it for you and whatever. So I drew me, I still have the picture I could show you. I don't know where it's at.
Oh man, that's awesome.
I'll try to take a picture of it and put it on Facebook. It's super bad. But between, it was second and third graders combined. I was in second grade and it won second place in the entire contest of our entire school district. And I was like, not only did I come in second, this is up against third graders and it's the entire school district.
What was it that you drew?
Just me playing soccer with crayons, I think I drew it.
Oh, that's so sick.
And I won like $50 to Toys R Us. Pokemon movie just came out, so I got this little robotic Togepi thing that like made noises and probably some Pokemon cards or something.
Yeah.
But that was when I was like, huh, I guess I can draw. And I remember another time later in my elementary school days when someone was like, Nick, how do you draw so good? And I was like, first of all, it's well. I didn't say that. I was like, I don't know,
that
man.
That was you today, back in time.
Yeah. I was like, I don't know. But I knew that I wanted to draw for a living, and it still hasn't happened because I'm still not very good.
Right. I remember you telling me, I mean, I appreciate you cleaning up that answer, but I remember you telling me that you were genetically predispositioned better than them to be more talented.
Yeah, that was.
And they cried, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I had documentation for that from the doctors and everything. So,
right, and the lawsuit. Yeah.
From there, it kind of exploded in fifth grade. I had dabbled in like HTML and stuff and just making dumb websites for myself. Actually, in fifth grade, I started a school newspaper just because I had done one for my class in fourth grade. I was like, I want to keep doing this. So I'd draw comics for that little newspaper, and then I would edit it.
Yeah.
And have all my classmates write articles and stuff. And we raised money for the PTA at our school.
What kind of stuff would you write about in the newspaper?
We tried to stick to the format of a newspaper. So we'd have, like, the sports section and, like, school goings-ons and events and, like, we'd always have ice cream socials at our school or whatever, so we'd write about those. But me and my friend Brian were editors of the newspaper, and I would just draw comics most of the time. I think I wrote a couple articles, but I would just draw.
Sweet.
So it was weird. But I also like writing, and I think that's because my teacher, Mrs. Gorman, I'm friends with her on Facebook now. She's awesome.
Sweet.
Yeah. Was... Hang on, we'll pause. I'm going to put a blanket under the door. That's my daughter. And I think part of that is because my teacher, my fifth grade teacher, Mrs. Gorman, who I'm friends with on Facebook now, was so encouraging of that, just to be like, hey, this is like literally something you can do as a job later in your life. And I think you could. So that kind of encouragement goes a long ways, teacher. So teachers out there, if you're listening, be nice to your students and encourage yeah. them to follow their wildest dreams. But where that went was I would dabble in websites. Just, I made like a website for the newspaper. That was one of my first ones. It's just like a free website thing.
Yeah.
And somehow one of my brother's friends, Jake, one of his friends, was like, hey, you might like this thing called Flash, which is an animation program. Yeah. Actually, no, it started off with a thing called Swift, which was like either the free or really cheap version of Flash. He's like, you might like it. Just play around with it. He's like, I got it from my teacher. This might have been sixth grade. I don't know. Either one, fifth or sixth grade. He's like, I got it from my teacher at, he was in like ninth grade or something, Mr. Schmucker.
Nice.
And he's like, he's teaching us how to use this thing, and I think you might really like it. So I dabbled in it with it for like a summer. Eventually got into Flash because it's easier to use. And by seventh grade, I was trying to make cartoons.
Yeah.
I would make dumb little cartoons with me and my friends. I'm sure I have some of those around here somewhere too, like on an old hard drive or something.
But yeah.
I think most of them are gone.
We should just load our Facebook page up with like old music videos and cartoons and stuff. Yeah.
On
our Facebook page, our website.
Yeah. But that was like the earliest I think that I had really done something creative. Like, I made dumb little comic strips before, but, like, I had made something and I put it out there for everyone to see on the internet.
Yeah.
And I think a big part of that, I was inspired a lot by Homestar Runner. If you look around my office, you'll know.
Yeah.
And, like, the Weeble Stuff guys, they did the Betcha, 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 and Magical Trevor and all those things.
Yeah.
And... like, it was really simple animation, and I was like, well, I can do that, too. So I started trying to do what they're doing, and I think that's kind of where we are today.
Yeah, because that even turned into making some games, too, some point. Yeah,
yeah, that's, I think the biggest, it's really weird because I hit it big once, like 1.5 times. But one time I made this dumb little game. I made this dumb little game called Line Simulator. It was on Newgrounds and like Congregate and a bunch of random
E-Bombs
websites.
World, probably?
I don't think E-Bombs World was around anymore.
Oh, damn.
This was like, I don't know how long ago it was. I think it was shortly after I met Shelby, so like 2007 or 2008, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
Like 9 years ago. And I had finished it. It was just like a dumb little point and click adventure. Wasn't a whole lot of substance to it. I put it up on Newgrounds, and like that, I put it up on Newgrounds as I was leaving my house to go to Chicago to go watch a Blackhawks game. And we got to the game. I turned my phone off. I turned my phone back on, and I got a text from one of my friends like, "I can't get to your website, man." I was like, "What happened? Like, I know I renewed my stuff. Like, there should be nothing wrong with it." So I started looking into it. There's so many people trying to go to my website. It was not allowing people to go to my website because it was like it exploded out of nowhere. It had like 200,000 hits, and the traffic was so big that I had to call GoDaddy and be like, "What the heck's going on?" They're like, "Well, you got to pay an extra $5 to up your traffic limit," which isn't a thing anymore. But at the time, you could only have so many connections on your website at a time.
Weird. Yeah.
And that was a weird feeling. Because then, recently, like 2 years ago, which I guess isn't really recent, but it was when I was starting to stream my drawings. Because I was like, I want to start drawing again, like creatively. Like I draw a comic, but it's like the same every week or whatever.
Yeah.
I want to start practicing, and I would stream it on Twitch. And sometimes I'd play video games. And someone had asked me, like, "Have you ever done anything else?" And I was like, "Yeah. Like the biggest thing I've done is this dumb thing called Line Simulator." And someone's like, "Oh my God, I remember playing that." And I was like,
That's awesome. That is weird.
That was like 7 years prior at that point.
That must have felt pretty cool.
Yeah. Like there's like 10 people in my chat room and one of them's played my stupid game. Damn. That's weird.
And I know that you even had Twitch started taking off for you a little bit too.
A little bit, yeah.
You started getting people involved.
Yeah. It's weird how timing works because I think I was just drawing Pokemon and Ice Poseidon, he's on YouTube now, I think, because he got banned from Twitch because people would go into his chat and say very offensive things. And so, unfortunately, he got banned from Twitch for what his viewers were doing.
Oh, that's dumb.
But he had mentioned on his thing, like, someone should draw me. And so someone from his chat went to the creative channel on Twitch and just clicked on the first person they saw. It happened to be me. And they're like, "Hey, draw this guy." And I was like, "I don't know what you're talking about." But then I did. And then they started to flood my channel and I got like thousands of views.
Yeah. It's weird how that stuff works.
Yeah.
I think we both kind of had experience with, going viral once mm-hmm. or twice and it's just random.
Yeah.
And that's something that like, since we both had that experience, we put forth into the podcast mm-hmm. to try to make sure that we're marketing properly and like we want as many listeners as we can.
Yeah.
So it's cool that you got to have that experience growing up too.
It's weird.
Would you say that you are who you are today because of Lighty the Light Bulb?
You found that.
I don't know what it is.
Shall we tell you about that?
Yeah.
It was this dumb cartoon that I wanted to make. That I had worked on for a really long time. Maybe I'll still make it. I don't know. It's just about this light bulb who was having an existential crisis and decided to go on an adventure where he tried to find the meaning of life. And he went through all these trials and tribulations, picked up some friends along the way, like a homeless dude or whatever, and found out that the meaning of life was juice.
Juice?
Juice. Like apple juice or orange juice. Doesn't matter. Just juice.
Huh.
And I got that because I drew a lot of inspiration from like Homestar Runner and all that stuff, but I also drew inspiration from Jason Steele, if you know who that guy is. He did Charlie the Unicorn and a bunch of other cartoons that are out there on YouTube. He's still making stuff. He goes, I think his YouTube channel is Film Cow. Okay. You know Charlie the Unicorn, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But he was very active with his fans. He had a blog, and there was a lot of us that would go onto his blog and just like talk to him, ask him questions. And one time I was like, what's the meaning of life? And he responded, juice. Like, all right, I want to use that for my dumb cartoon I want to make.
That's perfect.
He was a really cool guy. And I met a lot of people back then that, I have no idea where they are now. One of them got me into Doctor Who. That was a long time ago.
And all of this was prompted by me trying to dish up some dirt from you, from Shelby.
Yeah, that's the only dirt she had?
Yeah, well, the only other thing she mentioned was, without context, I'd like you to answer this. It's a yes or no question.
Okay.
I'm just going to read it verbatim.
Uh-huh.
Have you ever been asked to be lubed up in a bathroom by multiple men?
Yeah, no. I mean, technically, yes. Not lubed up, more oiled up.
Okay. I'll let you proceed.
Man, you love digging up dirt, don't you? So every year, Shelby's family does this thing called Carlson Campout. That's her maiden name. So don't go hacking into anyone's bank accounts or anything. But they would have this thing called Fear Factor that they did, where one of the family members, Judy, would go to her fridge and just like pull all this gross stuff out. She'd go to the Oriental store and grab like those gross duck eggs that look rotted and like all these weird foods, and whoever could eat the most would win a prize. And then after they were done with that, they wanted to wax people's backs. And it just so happened they wanted to wax my back. And it was like the second time I had been at one of these events. So I was like, yeah, I guess I got to do it to impress all these people. But after they wax you, the instructions require you to put this oil on your back. So we went to the camp showers. And everyone that got their backs waxed went in there. And we had our own private showers.
Cool.
But we were making all kinds of getting oiled up jokes between each other. And they still don't let us live it down. It's been like 9 years since that happened. So we were just joking around. It was a lot of fun.
And 9 years is, that seems like a long time, and you were still with Shelby.
Yeah.
How long have you been with Shelby?
11 years.
Yeah, wow.
Isn't that stupid?
That's pretty good, though.
Yeah.
And now you guys have a little baby named Rory.
We had a baby named Rory, and now all my dreams are crushed. So
yeah, how has your life changed since you had a baby?
I'm doing the things that I want to do. I think that like my streaming stuff could have really gone somewhere, but I had a kid, and I couldn't do that anymore because I had to watch her. And I tried to do it, but I just couldn't. But I'm making podcasts, and I'm drawing, and... I'm still doing creative stuff, and that's what keeps me happy. As long as I'm doing something, like with Light of the Light Bulb, it was just something to work on. I never finished it, but it gave me something to work on, and that's what made me happy.
Right. And now you get to be creative by like teaching her things and helping her be creative with back. Which is really cool.
Well, she'll sit on my lap with my Wacom tablet, and she'll try to draw with me. And I'll do dumb voices when I'm reading her book. I'm working on Grover and Elmo voice right now.
Oh, please.
No. They're not ready. They're not ready for air.
I mean, I'll give you one of mine.
Okay, go.
It's me, the green frog, Elmo.
That's easy. Everyone can do Kermit. I'm Kermit the Frog.
Oh, well.
One day we'll find it, the rainbow connection.
I would have sang a harmony with you if you kept going.
You can do Miss Piggy.
The lovers, the dreamers, and me.
Give me a sentence to say. I'll try this Grover.
Okay. Up, up, and away.
Up, up, and away!
Yeah, there you go. Super Grover.
Yeah. So I think that's my life. You got any other questions for me?
The last thing that kind of like jotted down, because this is pretty informal, was that I'm a vegan. I live in the minority of American society.
Yeah, it's hard to live in Iowa as a vegan.
Right. You have never drank.
Yeah.
Why is that?
A few reasons. The biggest one is... I don't really want to hurt anyone's feelings, but I think that my brother will agree that when he used to drink a lot, he was a huge a-hole. He does admit, so I don't feel bad saying this. He was a huge douchebag, and I feel like a lot of that stemmed from drinking. So when I was coming of age where I would have the opportunity to start drinking alcohol, I was like, I don't want to be a douchebag. So I would just wouldn't drink. And now, 26 years later, it's just a point of pride. I don't want to start now because then I'd have to break that streak. So, I just don't drink alcohol. I'm also weird like that. Like, I don't like peanut butter. Can't stand the smell.
Yeah, that's like I don't get that, though.
I can't stand the smell. It upsets my stomach.
I'll eat it out of the jar, Nicholas.
Yeah, so will my daughter. And I'll come home and I'll say, she smells like peanut butter. And Shelby will be like, we had peanut butter for breakfast. I'm like, that was 10 hours ago.
Oh, man.
I can smell it. I don't like the smell.
All right, well, you're wrong.
I know I am. I know.
Let's find out what else we're wrong about, because we've got our questions here.
Yeah, you want to take a quick break?
Yeah.
That was great, learning about you and your childhood.
And you and your little flash.
Yeah. Where can people find us?
They can find us on StrangerStillShow.com.
Yep, you can find us on Twitter at StrangerStill.
And you can find us on our Facebook group.
That's the best place to go, because usually we'll ask people to send in questions or topics and all of that. And this time, since our listeners wanted to hear an episode about us, we asked for a bunch of questions that we could answer on the air, and we've never seen these questions before.
Yep.
So we'll try to get through as many as we can. We're running desperately out of time. So sorry if we didn't get to your question. We got a bunch of them.
Yeah.
We'll just kind of go back and forth if you want to do it that way. Let's start with Kirsty wants to know, if you were an animal, what animal would you be?
Wolf, I guess. Dogs are cool.
Do you like dogs?
Yeah. I got 7.
I'd be a red panda, because red pandas, dude.
Yeah, they're
so cute. I go to the Minnesota Zoo just to see them. Anyway.
Or a tardigrade, because they're neat.
Yeah, got one?
From Jason, what do you think the perfect job for your co-host would be if they had the chance to do whatever they wanted?
I think that's obvious. You would make music.
Yeah, and you'd be like an animator.
Yeah. That's. Here's one. I don't have a name with this one, but what's your favorite TV show right now?
Game of Thrones.
Yeah?
I just recently, dived in.
Dove in?
Well...
I think mine, I always have to go back to Scooby-Doo. It's always going to be Scooby-Doo. Scooby-Doo is my favorite show.
Yep. Which you might be working on something with that.
Yeah. We'll see.
Nick Sanders. Nick S says, what does it feel like to be the second coolest Nick out there and the first coolest John?
It's good to know that I'm right behind Nick Cannon. Mm-hmm. So that feels pretty good.
Yeah. It feels adequate.
Yeah. Feels adequate.
Feels right for me.
What's your favorite video game?
Earthbound or Super Mario RPG.
Yeah, those are good choices.
Yeah.
I don't even know. I like too many video games. I really like Psychonauts because I really love adventure games, but also Banjo-Kazooie.
Yeah.
So choose one of those. Sorry, I'm doing ones that don't have names with them. What else you got?
What's your biggest fear?
Being forgotten.
Yeah. I'd say something similar to that. And or letting letting everyone down. Just like a normal.
Yeah. I don't know. What's your favorite Pokemon?
Jolteon.
I know that answer. Yep. Jolteon. Mine, there's so many good ones. I think I'm going to have to go. Like, all my answers are so like. Blah, 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 blah. You're so like. Jolteon, and I'm like, blah, blah, blah. man, I don't know. I really like Gengar because his design's really cool. I think my favorite Pokemons are kind of based on designs, and I think my favorite design is Phantump. He's like this little log-headed ghost. He's so cute. I love ghosts. Delia wants to know, are you crafty, and if so, what's the coolest thing you've ever made?
When I was a kid, I would have like Mario action figures and stuff. And I built a piranha plant because they didn't have an action figure for that.
Oh, yeah?
And I built a tube for him to jump into. I used to have these Bomberman toys that I built the whole Bomberman spaceship and all that stuff out of paper. All of it paper.
Yeah. I don't know. I am kind of crafty. I don't have a cool story like that. I built a bookshelf that's in my living room with my dad. That was pretty cool.
That's pretty rad. Favorite color?
Plaid.
Dark black, extra dark.
Your favorite color is the Stranger Still teal.
Yeah, that's why we picked it.
That's why we picked it. No, mine's purple. I like purple a lot. Paolo, our good friend, this isn't exactly what he said, but who's your favorite Dragon Ball Z character?
I would say probably either Piccolo, Goku,
You're just naming all of them.
Nail.
You don't know any of them. I told you about Nail today.
Zero. That's, Sub-Zero.
That's, you went from Mega Man to Mortal Kombat.
Maybe Gokumon.
For someone that actually knows Dragon Ball Z, I'd have to say my favorite character is Whis. He's the coolest right now. It used to be Gohan, now it's Whis. Gohan's kind of a nimby pimby.
What would be your ideal vacation?
I want to go to the UK really bad. That's one story I didn't get into, is I have a good friend, Sonny, in the UK. And me and Shelby wanted to go to the UK ever since we first met because of him. And
that's awesome.
What about you?
Japan. I want to eat the tea leaves off the trees.
Yeah.
I want to feel them in my mouth.
Who do you think would win in a Pokemon battle between me and you?
Okay, well, here's the thing. I'm a little out of date, yeah, but I did have Pokemon White, and I had a Eevee set.
Uh-huh.
So I had like 5 or 6 different Eevees.
Jolteon,
all
Flareon.
That. My Umbreon had no attacks.
Uh-huh.
They all had Baton Pass. So yeah. I'd send one out, I'd buffer my special defense, then pass. Then I'd buffer my speed, and I'd pass. And by the time I got to my last one, I had like maxed out, what do you call it? Like a Vaporeon with Surf. And
yeah.
I just whatever. Stick to the basics.
Can you take them out with that?
Yeah. So probably you these days, though.
Yeah, me. Definitely me. Definitely.
I'll do 2 more.
I got a good one here. And it leads to another question that I had written down just as like a little joke. But do you believe in reincarnation? If so, what were you in a past life?
I believe... I'm an agnostic atheist.
Yeah.
And I believe that we have energy.
Uh-huh.
And if I don't know the facts on it or the science behind it, then I don't bother thinking about it too much.
Mm-hmm.
But
my whole thing on that, and you can take this any way that you want, is that I heard someone say this before and I love it, that it's just as crazy to think that the universe was born out of nothing as it is to believe that there's a God and he made everything. Like,
yeah,
both of those are so bizarre. I mean,
yeah, I would.
It's a crapshoot.
Yeah,
But
I was probably a really like
solid,
really handsome
blade of grass.
Oh, like I, yeah.
Have you ever had anything happen to you that you can't explain? Slightly paranormal or otherwise.
Well, one time.
I know this is going to be a joke already.
Yeah. No.
No, what were you going to say?
I didn't have anything.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I haven't either. You got one more you want to do?
Yeah. Are you still Nick?
I'm still Nick. Are you still John?
I'm still John.
And this has been...
Stranger Still. And real quick, leave us a review on iTunes.
Yeah, do that. Happy birthday to us.
Happy birthday.